Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.
You are listening to the financialsurvivalnetwork.com. I'm Kerry Lutz on 1230 WBZT. It's December 2nd, 2013, and that means it's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review. Mickey, how are you?
Doing well. I'm in my home away from home in Vancouver. And lo and behold, the sun came out today.
Wow, that must be a good omen, and that can only mean that the stock market is going up, as if it needed any good omens, right?
Well, this is quite true. The Dow is now above 16,000, S&P 500 above 1,800, NASDAQ above 4,000, the Russell 2000 is above 1,100, and all those major U.S. market indices hit all-time highs. They were up somewhere between 2.8 and 3.9% over the month. Lagging behind, of course, was the Toronto Stock Exchange, basically flat over the month. And we get no love from the Venture Index. It was down 2.5%. It's basically right back where it started at the end of the summer. So it is what it is, and I actually expect the Venture Exchange to go lower this month with tax loss selling. Canadians can carry back gains for 3 years, so that takes them back to 2010, arguably the best year ever on the Toronto Venture Exchange. So watch out for tax loss selling, but that usually winds down about mid-December, mid to second, third week of December, and then there are bargains to be had at that point.
And the emerging market also not so good.
Yeah, and I think that probably has to do with just the ongoing slowdown in China. A lot of that has been artificially done by the Chinese government, but it's no doubt that that economy is going to slow down. 10% annualized growth is unsustainable. We'll see if they can sustain 7%. That's still pretty good GDP growth, Kerry.
That is pretty good. And hey, I just want to share with you a prediction that was made back in July or August by none other than the erstwhile Martin Armstrong. He said that probably mid to end of October, Dow would crack 16,000, and he's calling for Dow 32,000, or at least mid-20,000s to 32,000 by 2015. And not because the economy is doing so well, not because earnings are going sky high, not because of anything economic performance or any of that, but strictly as a hot money play, that's where the safety is to be had. It's not going into government bonds, not going into any of the traditional safe havens. It's just going into the Dow, into the stock market, because that's where the money's going to flow. Whether he's right or wrong, I'm not passing any judgment, but he did call this recent advance, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I would be a bit of his devil's advocate there and say, it's a lot easier to predict a Dow at 16,000 in the short term. What would that be about? It went from 15,000 to 16,000, I think, than it is to predict a doubling in the next 2 years. That said, when fiat currencies run wild, oftentimes the only thing that outperforms the inflation of the money supply is stock markets. We saw that. Now, this is not a very direct analogy, but we saw that in Zimbabwe when they were undergoing hyperinflation. The stock market outperformed the inflated currency during that period of time.
Yeah, and now for a not so pretty story, we're looking at the metals.
The metals had an overall poor showing for the month. Gold down 5%, silver down 10%, platinum down 5%. Even palladium gave back its gains over the last couple of months. It lost 2%. Of interest to me would be the gold-silver ratio now back up to 63, which is a signal perhaps for those that like silver, maybe not a bad time to buy. It's got to go considerably higher for me to choose silver over gold. Interestingly enough, the platinum-palladium ratio has now fallen well below 2 at 1.9, and that is the lowest since we started tracking this over 2 years ago, Kerry. And finally, the gold to WTI ratio, an ounce of gold will buy you 13 and a half barrels of oil. Copper was down for the month too at about minus 3%, trading around 320 at the end of the month. Interestingly enough, although inventories continue to fall worldwide, the specs, the net commercial shorts, are very much evident right now. The market is net short. And even though supply-demand balance is very good, I mean, we're predictions next year for a small surplus, predictions this year for a small deficit. So supply-demand balance is good, but specs, the big boys are not very bullish on copper at this point.
Yeah, and I think with copper, the big boys generally know what's what the story is with that.
Well, they know which way they want to move the market. We know that. So that's big boy football there. And we stay out of those markets for sure.
For sure. And then we go to energy. Also, unless you were natural gas, not a pretty place to be.
Yeah, WTI continued to fall, closed the month at about $93 a barrel, down almost 4%. Curiously enough, once again, Brent held its own. It closed at $109 and change, up almost 1% over the month. Big performer, big winner in the market this month was Henry Hub Gas. Closed the month at $3.91, up over 9%. I did not do any detailed research into that, but I would think that is seasonal as we're coming into the heating season in North America. WTI, Brent to WTI ratio is once again gaining. That arbitrage is now almost up to 1.2. And another big winner for the month, curiously enough, was uranium, up 5% over the month, but still a very poor spot price at $36 a pound. What we're starting to see now is production is coming off. Mines are shutting down and cutting back. And, you know, we would hope that the cure for low prices is low prices. Certainly, it looks like there will be no short-term demand for some time. But once again, the fundamentals of uranium look very good in the mid to long term.
Yep, absolutely. And then we go to our currencies and talk about watching, you know, molasses drip out of the bottle, huh?
Or paint dry, or whatever your favorite metaphor would be for that. But yeah, the dollar index closed the month at a little less than 81. Euro was flat at 136. But we did see a little bit of movement in the U.S. Treasuries. Closed the month at paying 2.75% on a 10-year T-bill, T-bond, I should say.
Yep, and looks like Lindsey Hall's trade is paying off still, you know?
Well, it's flip-flopped a bit, but when we first heard that, the rate was about 2.5. Now it's up to 2.75. It's a bit of a risky market at the whims of whatever the Fed wants to do. Playing that market short is a little bit more risk than I usually prefer to take.
But in the long term, they have no option but to print. And the lady who's taken over the helm of the Fed has really made her intentions known that she's going to continue the course, right?
Yep. Well, she has no choice, really, at this point.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, so and the Fed and the ECB really is going to keep doing the same thing. They're actually going to start printing in earnest rather than just letting the Fed do the printing for them, from what I understand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't really touch upon this much, but that virtual electronic currency Bitcoin has been dominating the headlines. You and I both know one of the early boosters of it, Trace Mayer, who's sitting pretty on an island someplace, probably burning his fiat currency that he's bringing in by the bushel load, converting his Bitcoins. But, you know, it's nothing short of incredible. But, you know, it occurs to me, Mickey, like back in the good old days of the stock market, before there was an SEC, before it was illegal to manipulate, if I wanted GM to go up, I could just sell you 1,000 shares on the market. We could just bid it up back and forth. And there was no regulation on that type of behavior. And in fact, that's what traders did. That famous trader, I can't remember his name right now, but you know who I'm referring to. The greatest trader ever, Jess Livermore.
Right.
And guys like him and Bernard Baruch, the Kennedys, Joe Kennedy, that's what they did all day in the good old days. They just bid stuff up and dumped it. And that's what my feeling is taking place with Bitcoin right now. There are insiders in Bitcoin, and that's what they do all day. They just flip Bitcoin back and forth and back and forth, bidding the price up. I don't believe that these gyrations in price are really occurring in a in an open, transparent way.
Well, I'm not a Bitcoin aficionado, but certainly it looks like it could be in a bubble phase. It went exponential, up 24% last week. If you go in and look at the chart of Bitcoin in the three plus years it's been in existence, I think that number is correct. It very much has gone parabolic over the last month. It is a virtual currency. It has no tracking. At this stage, no taxes, no regulation, without a government, currency without a country. It's a virtual currency. But here's what I see with Bitcoin. You remember the Silk Road debacle 4 months ago?
Sure.
Which got the FBI and the NSA, our infamous NSA, involved, looking into the trading that went on, the black market, virtual internet black market that Silk Road was. But so you've got the government looking into it. One of the biggest traders in it, I think at one point he traded something on the order of 9.2 million out of the 11.25 million Bitcoins in existence. He's in jail now, and there's tax consequences coming, I think, for Bitcoin. The IRS is starting to look into it. Yeah, you can go online, and I did a little research today, and certainly the IRS is going to come out with some sort of rules about Bitcoin. It's unknown right now if Bitcoin is currency, can be considered as currency or a commodity, and that certainly will affect the tax consequences. But I think the time's coming for Bitcoin. I hope that that our friends, and we do have friends, that some of them will be at the Liberty Mastermind Symposium. Trace and Jeff Berwick is a Bitcoin backer, and I think anyway. And so it'll be interesting to talk to those guys and see what they think about Bitcoins now. But my advice probably would be now's a good time to cash in. If you own Bitcoins, cash them in and turn it into gold.
Yeah, hey, it's not like there's futures or options in Bitcoin, so you can't exactly lock in your profits by using derivatives. But maybe we should, you know, Mickey, maybe we should start the derivative market in Bitcoin. Maybe that's where the real money will be made, because it seems
Absolutely.
To me, right? How do we do that?
I think some people are already looking into that. So
there must be a way.
Yeah, there. I really think that's what's going to happen. There'll be a paper Bitcoin market that will be where all the derivatives, where all the money is made in Bitcoins.
I think so. Hey, I'm glad you reminded me of the Liberty Mastermind Symposium. It's the second one we're doing. The theme is "The Clock is Ticking, Countdown to Collapse." And it's going to take place on February 21st, 22nd in that paragon of virtue known as Las Vegas.
Yes.
At the Embassy Suites Hotel there. And go over to libertymastermind.us.
Okay, Gary.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon, Mickey. Be well.
Okay, you too.